there. We're going to be looking at Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Before we do, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer together. Lord, I again thank you for today, for this morning. I pray that you would meet each of us here where we are. Lord, you know every situation. You know what each one is going through. You know what each one of us can be distracted by. You know where our hearts are. You know what's most important to us. And Lord, you know where we need to change and grow and become different people. So I pray that you would today just reveal yourself to us in a big way. Help us to just see you more clearly, to love you more, to walk with you more, and also just to turn to those around us and know how to just advise them and love them and share with them. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, how many of you here would like to live a good life? You want the good life. You want the good life. Okay? I want the good life. A lot of people want the good life, but sometimes what they think is the good life is not really the good life. That's one of the big problems. You know, a lot of times what you think is good for you and what you think you should be doing and what you think will make you happy and fulfill you and give you everything you're lacking is really just something that just spirals down, and it's not the good life after all, but it's the bad life. And today we're going to be talking about something that goes beyond the good life. We're talking about having a blessed life. That goes beyond good. And it gives you a little bit more biblical meaning and understanding there. If you're blessed, that means that God is actively pouring out His blessings upon you. It's an action that God has and He does for you on your behalf. You are in a very good position. Better than just good. Okay, you're this position is so good, it goes beyond the here and now. So to be blessed is not just a matter of having really good finances or a really good job or a really good house or a really good car or to be popular and to be liked or for everything to just go well in your business and your job and different things. That's not it. That's not it. That's a shallow understanding. Now, God can bless you in all those things, but to be blessed goes just beyond the here and now. There's an eternal part of it. So when you're blessed, we're talking about having a blessed life, you're blessed in a way that goes beyond today, goes beyond your life, and enters into eternity when you die. You're blessed. Now, how many of you would rather be blessed than just live the good life? Feel free to get excited this morning. Okay? It's all right. All right, picture those people watching the football game, getting all excited in front of their little TVs and yelling and jumping up and down. Now, I'm not suggesting that we jump up and dance around and do that, but what I'm saying is, hey, being blessed is, that's good news, man. This is good news I'm here to share with you. So let's open up our Bibles again, Psalms 1. Let's take a look at what the Word of God says. I'm going to read all the way through, Sam, so you'll just follow me all the way through here. And then I'll go back and I'll speak about each part. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is from the book of Psalms. Psalm comes from a Greek word, psalmos, for songs. Now, if you were to look at the original Hebrew word, the Hebrew name, it means something more like praises. So these are like praise songs. This is the hymnal of the Old Testament believer in the old church, and actually very much our hymnal today. The best songs are those that come out of Scripture. Now, you can have somebody that writes a song, and They could get the words just right. There could be a little problem in their theology and their understanding. It could be a pretty solid song. But the best songs are those that are completely backed by Scripture, come out of Scripture. You're basically singing Scripture. And you've heard some of these songs. You know that song, Created Me a Clean Heart? Comes from the Psalms. As the deer pants for the water, comes from the Psalms. I mean, just many of them that we sing that you're probably familiar with. If you were actively reading through the Psalms, you'd say, oh yeah, I know that one. We talked about one in a Bible study this week. And maybe the wrong one that I'm thinking about, but there's one, if the Lord had not been on our side, all our enemies would have swallowed us alive. Have you heard that? There's just many, many great songs that come out of the Psalms. Now this first part here is kind of a framework to all the Psalms, just explains them. It just gives you an introduction. Now, many of the Psalms will identify who they are written by. So there'll be like one who's a Psalm of David. And David is the person who wrote most of the Psalms, the majority of them. We don't know who wrote this part in the beginning. It doesn't say. But what it describes is the blessing that you have in your life if you are fully devoted to God. And if you are living in a way, it's in fellowship with Him as you should be. It says here, blessed is the man. Now, this could be woman too, so ladies, don't think that you're out of this, okay? Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So this blessing that we talk about, this condition of just being really well off, being in the place that is absolutely best for you. He says, the person who is blessed, this person does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. So do you know that there's a whole world out there that wants to convince you to go a certain way, to live your life a certain way? They want to tell you what's good for you, what you should be doing. That is out there, right? Very powerful force. We can just call that the world. That's the world. The world wants to influence you. And he's saying right off the bat here, the writer's saying that the man who's blessed, the man or woman, he does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. So he's not influenced by what the wicked will say to do. And just to get this out there, who are the wicked? Now, we all can be the wicked, but we're not living, you know, in God. But we're the wicked if we don't have a relationship with God, if He's not the one who's telling us the truth and His truth is not living in us. So, we all are sinners. We all can be the wicked. We all need a Savior. That Savior is Jesus. But the thing is, when you as a Christian, if you would like to be blessed and you'd like to live this blessed life, you need to not be influenced by the world. You need to influence the world, not the other way around. So that's the first thing. If you want to live this blessed life, do not let the world come and pull you aside, influence you, take you away. He says, nor stand in the way of sinners. So you'll see here, he's got kind of a progression here. Walk, stand, sit. Walk, stand, sit. So he says, don't stand in the way of sinners. So I already said we're sinners. But what this means is do not stand up for that which is sin. Do you know that you're all going to take a stand on some things? Have you taken a stand for anything this week? If you're a parent, you probably have. I take stands all the time with kids. If you're in the workplace, you probably have to take stand on things. If you have any kind of friends or any kind of people, you take stands on things. If people ask you to do things, you take a stand. And sometimes you really can take a stand on something that's not right, that's sin, and you can try to argue your way. And you could say, this is okay, this is what I should be doing. You're going to justify it and take a stand. And he's saying, if you want to be blessed, you won't take a stand on those things. You're going to take a stand on some things, but you will not take a stand on sin. And you will not sit in the seat of scoffers. sitting in the seat of scoffers is like, well, first of all, what's a scoffer? Scoffer is somebody that says, you know, where is this God? Am I really getting anything out of coming to church and reading my Bible? Am I really getting anything out of this? Is this really making my life any better? You know, this isn't real. You know, that's a scoffer. It's a scoffer. Now, you can sit in the seat of scoffers if you take on those attitudes for yourself. If you say, God doesn't love me, and you have this sour attitude towards God. But what does the Bible say? He says God loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. That He wants to bring you near to where He is, and He wants you to go to heaven and live with Him someday forever when you die. That's what He loves you that much. And not only that, He wants to give you an abundant, full life today here on earth. He wants to get your mind off the things that you're so mesmerized by, and He wants to put your eyes on Him, the author and creator of all that we are and all that we see. He wants a relationship with you. And so don't take on those attitudes of the scoffers. Don't do that. He's saying if you want to live the blessed life, then you won't do these things. These are things to avoid. What should you do if you want to live the blessed life? It says in verse 2, but His delight is the law of the Lord, and on His law He meditates day and night. If we want to be blessed, if we really want to be blessed, if we want our life to be full, if we want to experience the abundant life that God promises, then we need to be in His Word. We need to be connected with Him through what He said. He wrote us a letter, a love letter. It's like God who created everything wrote you a letter. He just wants you to read it. And not only read it, He wants you to meditate on it. What does it mean to meditate? You might picture sitting there with your legs crossed and your hands out and humming and saying these kind of things and emptying your mind. That's not what it means at all. That's not biblical meditation. Biblical meditation is a matter not of clearing your mind and getting things out of your mind. It's a matter of getting things into your mind and into your heart. So you read the Word of God. You think deeply about it. You do this regularly. You spend time and you say, how does my life compare with what's written here? How does this apply to me? You take in the Word. And it says day and night. And does that mean that you just sit around constantly and you don't do anything at all but just think about the Bible? And that's no, that's not what it means. But it means that you do it regularly and very much that there's a time in the day. Not just one time, but maybe many times in the day that you do this. Time in the night. You have God's Word in your life in its proper place. If you want to be blessed, you'll do this. Now, if you say, well, that's just boring to me. I just can't do that, you know. Well, first of all, pray that God would change your heart because you're not blessed then. You want to be blessed. It says that you will delight in God's Word. You will not find it boring. You will not find it a chore. That you will delight in it. Now, think of something that you delight in. Does anyone here delight in something like a good steak? Something good to eat, maybe it's something else. Maybe, ladies, it's a salad, you know, like just a really good salad with lots of little pieces of meat in it and little feta cheese and those kind of things, you know? Are there any women who like steak in here, though? Okay, all right, I just want to make sure, just checking you, you know. Maybe there's some guys that like salads, okay? But you can delight in that. I'm like, okay, come on, guys. You're going to have to eat this steak. Oh, man, do I really have to? Maybe it's chocolate for some of you, you know. You just delight in chocolate. Well, it's like when you're blessed, God's Word is a delight to you. It's a delight to you. Like it's not a chore or anything like that. It's not something that you have to do. It's like, wow, we get to be in God's Word. I'm going to soak it in. I love it. I appreciate those sermons when we open up the Word. I appreciate Sunday school. I appreciate doing that. It's a delight. It's something that I really like and appreciate. That's only if you want to be blessed. If you want to live what the world says is a good life, then you just put this on your shelf. You let it collect dust. You don't listen to what God has to say. And you get mesmerized by what the world has for you. And then as you face the end, you're like, what was it all about? You didn't know. Because you neglected what God wrote to you. So you want to delight in His Word and His law, and you want to meditate on it day and night. Now, He says the law here, he's talking, at this case in the Psalms, he's talking about the book of the books of the law. And those books very much saying, do this, do this, do this, do this, don't do this. You know, some part of being a Christian is that you obey God. That is a big part. You don't earn your way. You do not earn your forgiveness or salvation. You're forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's fundamental to everything that we believe. You are forgiven because what Jesus did for you on your cross, you receive it by faith. But Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, you will obey my commands. So there's a humongous part of our walk with God is where we need to obey Him. We need to be obedient to Him. Okay, so just knowing the Word of God, that gives us an ability to know what to be obedient to. You remember those bracelets, WWJD? You remember those where people would wear them and they said the letters on them? Those are pretty common. Well, I saw one, it was like a whole bunch more letters on it. And it was like, well, what does that stand for? And it was something like, you know, how could you do what Jesus would do if you don't know what Jesus did? That's what it all stood for there. So you can't do what Jesus would do or what He would want you to do if you don't really know what it is that He did. So you have to take that in. Learn more about it. Meditate on it. Think deeply. Look for principles and guidance for your life in it. Now, if you will do this, now I'm asking again, how many want to be blessed? You want to be blessed, okay? I'm telling you. This, you come to church, you get good stuff here. You get blessed. Here's the good news. If you're blessed, it says, He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that He does, He prospers. He's talking about the blessed man, the man who is not influenced by the world, but is influenced by the Word of God. He's blessed. He's like a tree. A tree, it's in a dry place. This is a dry climate that they're talking about. And this tree is planted right down by streams of water. And that tree is refreshed by the water. And it can receive the water. And the water comes in. And the tree grows healthy. And the leaves are healthy. And it produces fruit. And I'll tell you the good news about the fruit. The fruit is not really even for the tree. The fruit is for somebody else. Somebody can come along and eat that fruit. And it's like that with you and me. If we're blessed, then God produces things in us that make us useful to other people. You think about the fruit of the Spirit. It's very much the same thing that it's talking about. If you have God in your life and you are in His Word and He's working in you, He's going to produce fruit in your life. Amen. That's a promise. The promise is that His Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you and He changes you and He shapes you and He produces what we call fruit. For those of you who don't know, like some of this fruit, they talk about it in other places in the Bible. It's like you have joy. You have love. You have a peace. You have an inner peace that nobody can take away. You have kindness. You have gentleness. You have self-control. It's a great thing to have, right? That you can't do it on your own. None of this stuff you can do, but God, through His Holy Spirit, He will do that. And it's saying that if you're a blessed person in this way, you'll have this fruit. And it will benefit others. Now, how many of you here have benefited from somebody else's fruit? Yes, absolutely, you have. And maybe all of us are here because we shared life with somebody else and somebody told us the greatest news in all the world. I remember this. I mean, I think my mom, probably the first one to tell me this, it absolutely has changed my life from the very beginning. My life would be a different place. But my mom told me that there's a God that He loved you so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for you, and that your sins can be forgiven and you can go on and live in heaven with Him forever. You don't have to be afraid of death or anything. And receiving that absolutely like changed my life. It would change your life too. It just turns everything upside down. You look at things from a completely different perspective. You have this relationship with God, and if you will really walk with Him, you'll be like this tree. You'll produce this fruit, and then just like somebody sharing with you, you're going to help somebody else then. See where I'm going with that? It's not just about you. How many of you have read that book, The Purpose-Driven Life? Okay. I like the opening statement mainly. Is the main thing I like about the book. I mean, there's plenty to like in there. Some people find problems with the book, but I really, really like the opening sentence. It's not about you. It is not about you. So, the wicked are not so, verse 4. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Chaff, that's like the part of the wheat that they discard. It's not the edible part. They don't have many uses for it. There are some things they can use it for, like some filler and things, but people can't eat it. It's, as far as a person's diet, that is useless. Chaff. So he's saying the blessed person is useful, usable. He produces fruit that helps others, benefits others. The person who is not is like chaff, and that chaff is just blown away. It's not really useful or good for anything. So if you want to be blessed, you'll be like the tree. If you're not blessed, the Bible says that you're like chaff. You're like chaff. You're not useful there. It says in 5 and 6 that, you know, there is future. There is a future. There is something coming. What is it that's coming? Verse 5, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. So the wicked will not stand in the judgment. You will not be able to stand up in the judgment. You will not be able to survive the judgment. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So God is bringing together a congregation, bringing together a group. That group is the righteous. So sinners will not be able to stand in the righteous. Now this is, you're like, oh, okay, Heath, I thought you said we're sinners. Okay, so just to bring some New Testament into this and to understand this, that we are all sinners. We all sin. We've all fallen short of God's glory. We are not righteous. We don't become the righteous because we do things, like even read our Bible. Jesus makes us righteous. He declares us to be righteous. When we put our faith in Him, even though we're not even changed at all, if you put your faith in Jesus, He says, it's right. You're right. You're okay with God. If you were to die right now, I declare that you are saved, you are safe, you are righteous. That's called justification. You're justified. He declares it. It's your legal status with God. You are okay. You are saved. So here he's talking about those people that are the righteous. They're not really righteous because of what they did. They're righteous because they're saved through their faith. But really, overall, the principle, the wickedness, the things apart from this, they will not stand. They do not stand. They do not survive in God's presence. Okay? For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Do you think that God knows everything about you? This is the God we teach. He knows every thought. You can't hide. He's not like a man. I mean, He's everywhere at all times. He knows everything that everybody thinks. You don't inform Him of anything in your prayers or anything like that. God knows you. He knows you well. And it says here that He knows the way of the righteous. And so, do you think He knows the way of the wicked? He knows the way, as far as that kind of know. But you have to conclude here that know is like a deeper know. Like He knows, and He knows, not only knows, but He cares for, and He loves the way of the righteous. That's what that know is. It goes beyond just the knowledge, because God already knows everything. But He knows personally the way of the righteous. That's His way. And it says, the way of the wicked will perish. You know, this is looking into the future. Times are going to change. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. He's not coming back like He came the first time. He's coming back as a conquering king. And when He comes back, He's going to set everything straight. And the ways, our sinful ways, they're going to perish. They're going to go away. So it's time to get with the program today. How many of you want to get with the program today? The program is get with God today. Okay, so that's the thing. And it's really our job to do the best we can to share that with people, to share the good news that God is real, that He loves them, He died on the cross for them, that He wants them to be in a relationship, and He's inviting them into that. But we also, I mean, with that, we always have to tell them that, hey, look, we're sinners. That's why we need this. We are separated from God because of our sin. We need to be saved. We need to be forgiven. So let's go just on a little bit of a recap through this, and then we'll close out. Let's just think back to where we were. Blessed. It says, to be blessed means to be well off in a way that goes even beyond the here and now. Want that, right? We want to be blessed. If you're just looking at the here and now, if you're just saying, I want stuff, you're blind. You're going to wish that you didn't think that way when you come to the end of your journey, whenever that is. You are going to wish that you didn't think that way. You are going to wish that you had a blessing that goes beyond the here and now. Go ahead, Sam. Part of being blessed, and you will be blessed if you do this, is avoiding the ungodly influences and attitudes that are out there. So as a Christian, it says in the Bible that you need to be in the world, but not of the world. And too many of us Christians have compromised and we've become of the world. We take on those same attitudes. We take on those same activities, all right? So if you want to be blessed by God, don't do that. Avoid those things. Grow in that way. So be in the world, but not of the world. And you remember it says also in the Bible, talks about, you know, religion that is good and true. It talks about caring for widows and orphans, but also says keeping yourself from being polluted by the world. So you need to keep yourself from being polluted by the world. Now, again, this is another key. How are you going to do that? How are you going to live your life? How are you going to know which way to go, what to do? You will be blessed if you make God's Word the delight of your life. Not football, not potato chips, not chocolate, not any fun thing we like to do. Not our house, not our decorations, none of that stuff. But we make the Word of God the delight of our life. And you know whether that's the case or not. And I'll just stand up right here in front of everyone and I'll say, sometimes I live my life, the Word of God is not the delight of my life. I make something else the delight of my life. I'm being real with you. I'm being highly personal. Do not pick up the stones and throw them at me, okay? Why do you think I'm doing this, though? Why do you think I'm standing right up here and saying, sometimes the Word of God is not the delight of my life? It needs to be, and I want it to be. And I pray that it'll be. I'm doing that because I hope that you'll look at your own life and you'll say, you know what? I got to be real too. Maybe the Word of God has not been the delight of my life. My delight has been something else. My delight has been something that actually is not healthy for me, that is not good, that has not really given me this blessing that God wants to give me. Meditating on it, the Word, day and night, means to regularly think deeply about God's Word and how it applies to your life. Now, see, we don't just read the Bible for knowledge and trying to get an understanding of, you know, facts and what it says. You know, we're not just trying to add knowledge and get puffed up in these kind of things and look good in Bible trivia games. You do play Bible trivia, don't you? No, I don't either. Just kidding. We're not trying to do that. We read the Bible, we study the Bible because it applies to our lives. So every time we pick it up, one of the key things is you pick it up and you say, so I just read that. What does that mean in its original setting? And how do I apply that to my life? I was just careful there with how I said it. Because the meaning doesn't really change. The meaning is the meaning. But it applies to each of us. Sometimes it applies pretty universally in the same way. And sometimes God's Word, it speaks to us individually. We apply it in ways that are maybe different than other people. Okay, but we read it for application. I mentioned this before. I like the little Bible study thing that some of the kids are doing. It's called SOAP, where they'll take a scripture, they'll write the scripture down. That's the S. The O. They'll make an observation or many observations about the scripture. A, application. How does this apply to my life? They'll write it down. P, prayer. How am I going to pray that into my life and into my heart? We're on it. Good timing. Pray. Pray God will work it into your life. That's part of the meditation. Many times we have thought about prayer wrong. We think about prayer like, alright, I'm going to sit down here and I'm going to convince God of something. But you know, in the Bible, it teaches that God is unchanging and He doesn't change His mind like men change His mind. He already knows what's going to happen. Okay, it's not a matter of us convincing God of something. You know, that do you think prayer is designed to just move God? Like, that's the way we think about it. I'm going to sit down and convince God. I'm going to move God. But this is something that's just been incredible in my life, is thinking that and understanding that when I pray, it actually is going to move me a whole lot more than it moves God. So when I sit down and I pray, and I know that God wants to work these things into my life, that's His will, and I'm praying for them and I'm asking, what is happening in my heart? I'm beginning to become open to those things, God working in my life. I say, God, I want to delight in Your Word. Please help me to delight in Your Word. Please teach me that. You know, He begins to work through even the prayer and just me asking Him. I become moved by talking to the infinite God who knows everything already before I could even ask for it. He moves me, moves in my heart, and He'll do that for you. And so